The Old Testament scripture today is from Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 through 9. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be crushed until he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his teaching. Thus says God, the Lord who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth, what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord. That is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to idols. See, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I will tell you of them.
Gospel reading for today comes to us from Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 to 17, found on page 3 in the New Testament.
The baptism of Jesus.
Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So we celebrated Epiphany this last week, and some churches are doing it today in addition to the baptism of the Lord. Let me just explain Epiphany real quick for those who don't know. Epiphany is the revelation that Jesus Christ is God's Son. He has come. He is the Messiah come to fulfill his destiny. Some different faith traditions interpret this a little bit differently. Some folks think that Epiphany happens when the Magi come to pay their respects to Jesus in Bethlehem, because they, of course, these are not Jewish folk. These are Gentiles. So they say that revelation was made there. Other folks say, no, it is when Jesus came up out of the waters of the baptism, the heavens opened up and it was revealed that, yes, this is indeed God's Son. So whatever it is, what we need to know is that Epiphany is significant and the baptism of Jesus is crucial. You see, because the Gospels, some stories appear in some of them, but this baptismal story appears in every single Gospel story to underscore and highlight the importance of this baptism. So Jesus, about 30 years old or so, comes upon this scene. We've just heard recently, Christmas Eve, Christmas, Jesus as this child. And we don't hear much, really, until the baptism then. There's a story about when he was 13, he was in the synagogue. His parents were looking for him, and he was teaching. People were astounded at the wisdom that he had. But then it goes quiet. We don't really know what happened. One can only assume, through the traditions of the time, what had happened, that Jesus perhaps was following in his earthly father Joseph's footsteps, and he was being a carpenter. That's kind of what happened back then, but we can only speculate. But 30 years old, Jesus shows up. Now, baptism is not unique to our Christian tradition. Let's remember this, that this comes from our Jewish heritage, right? So John The Baptist, Jesus' cousin, was doing this out in the wilderness. The folks were coming to him. Even the Pharisees came out there, remember? And John lambasted them. What are you doing out here? You're coming out here because it's popular? Right? So baptism, this cleansing, this dedication, John was already doing this. So we have to recognize our connection to our Jewish roots. It's ritualistic, but Jesus does something new with this now, right? Because baptism inaugurates us into the body and into the mission of Christ, right? This is the body of Christ right here. Christ is the head of the church, and this is the body. The body is not a paralyzed body. This body is not a body that is not filled with compassion. This is an active, working, living, breathing body. This body is as healthy as we all are. Now, over my vacation, I got to hear some stories, some good stories of what people were doing, stories of resilience, resistance, and new life. People who lived in their communities looked out and said, you know what? There has to be something better than what we see out here. Some of the stories include my sister's church in Chicago, where I stayed. They're doing something very interesting. They're doing a feeding ministry every week, and folks from their church go to an area homeless shelter, which is very interesting, you see, because they live right next door to the wealthiest suburb in the nation. This is Naperville, Illinois. They live in Aurora. It's right next door. So per capita, Naperville is the wealthiest, period, in the country. But there are pockets of people hurting, people who are in need. And so they offer assistance. Their church, it's a beautiful space. It's a nice, sprawling space. And what they have done, they have turned their church into a preparedness center. So if there is some type of natural disaster that occurs, some type of tragedy in the community, the church can be a central gathering spot, providing physical shelter in addition to spiritual shelter. I heard about my brother-in-law's church back in South Africa, that they are in a increasingly growing neighborhood with poverty. It's not getting too much better. In fact, the church was robbed twice. All of the AV equipment was taken. Another time the church was broken into, the church van was vandalized and set alight, burned. But they refused to move from the community. They said, no, God is calling us to be a light here, to be a house of prayer, to be a house of healing. So they didn't leave the community. They certainly did take security measures. They put a fence around the church, which made it harder for people to break in. But they're there. While I was walking with my wife downtown Chicago, we saw folks carrying crosses, and these crosses had folks' pictures on the crosses. Come to find out, this is a ministry from St. Sabina, Father Michael Flager. You might have heard of Michael Flager. He is a prophet. He is a man on fire for God. I got to work with him and communicate with him a couple years back, and I have the utmost respect for him. So what the folks were doing, they were quietly marching up and down the big streets in Chicago, Michigan Avenue, Wabasha, State Street. They were simply holding crosses to bear witness to the violence and destruction that's happening. Little did I know when I was there that Chicago had more murders than New York and California combined in 2016. Sisters and brothers, that is unacceptable. Our youth are being taken from us. They're not only being killed, they're being incarcerated. It is a cycle of violence. This has to come to an end. But I see people right here doing good things, right? When we open up our church to Project Home, when you quilt a blanket out of love and you give it to someone, When you show up and you deliver meals to people who are unable to provide meals for themselves, when you show up to the Sheridan Project and you feed a child who's food insecure over the weekend, when you provide valuable dollars for crucial ministries in this community, you are saying, this is unacceptable and we got to do better. They, you, we are people changing the world. But what makes people go hard for the kingdom? This is difficult work, and surely there is easier things to do, right? What are these people baptized into when so much of the world seems like we're baptized into fear that paralyzes us, into inaction and complacency, or simply just makes us afraid of each other and afraid of the world? Well, let's examine the words of God from our Isaiah text. When we hear about God in Isaiah, we hear about a powerful creator of all whose character is one of compassion, who cares for the vulnerable, and who rescues the long forgotten. You see, Isaiah describes someone who brings justice into a place that is forgotten about the ways of justice. Someone who isn't arrogant or proud. Someone who cares for the fragile, the vulnerable, who brings light to the blind, who gives a second chance to those who come out of prison and those still trapped in the prisons of addiction and consumption. Someone who will not run out of steam or throw in the towel until their mission is completed. Just listen to these words from Isaiah. He will not cry or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be crushed until he has established justice in the earth. The coastlands wait for the teaching. See, I've given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, and from the prison those who sit in darkness. That is a powerful, powerful description of what it's like to be someone who can change the world. And what an amazing God we serve, who would desire this for his people, whose heart longs for this kind of justice and mercy for every living creature. This is a spirit-filled person. The word used for spirit is the ruach, ancient Hebrew word. This is the sort of spirit that keeps renewing, restoring, recreating, bringing forth life from unexpected places. And that's where we find John the Baptist and Jesus in our text, right? John is this voice preaching in the wilderness who exhorted people to repent and prepare the way of the Lord. Enter Jesus, who unassumingly gets in line with the sinners. John won't have it, saying to Jesus, "No, no, no, Lord, I should be baptizing you." Jesus says, no, this must be done to fulfill all righteousness. What does that mean? You see, to fulfill all righteousness is to be aligned with the will of God. Both John and Jesus' identity and purpose are fulfilled in this baptism. When the heavens are opened up and God speaks and the Spirit descends, Jesus stands on the side of the river with the sinners and submits to baptism by John. Though without sin, Christ identifies with all of us, fully human and yet fully divine. This is who our God is, how radically our God loves us, and how far our God will go to establish justice and mercy. See, when your heart is opened with love and determined to find something better and to change the world by loving and acting and speaking on behalf of the weak, of the abused, of the voiceless. We see the Ruach working in their lives, restoring and renewing. And you see, sisters and brothers, that's exactly what we are baptized into, to change the world, to have hope when it is hopeless, to love when it only seems dark around you, to hang in when others would give up, to keep writing letters and banging on doors and wearing down those who have the power to bring about change. And we're doing this, right? We're doing this right here in our own community. Some of you are doing this in new and wonderful, life-giving ways. Many of you are changing, and you're changing your world in the process, loving those in your care, reaching out to the vulnerable and broken in your midst. See, we can never love too much, because the more we give, the more it comes back. Forget about yourself. This year, forget about your own issues. Cast them into the hands of the Lord and take bold risks for others, crying out for love, for justice. Receive the Spirit, the Ruach, that brings the newness of life to you and to others. The bruised reeds will not be plucked up. The dim wicks will not be snuffed out, because they have the Beloved, the Son, to call their friend and Lord. Sinners now have salvation. The Son who submits to baptism will also submit to death, coming up from the water and the grave for the sake of the unclean. For Gentiles, for prisoners, for Pharisees, for soldiers, for Herod, for Judas, for all of God's fallen, yet beloved in this world. Baptism is a gift, like we are to one another. And on the way to the cross, Christ gave us one more gift in which to remember him, and a gift which provides strength on our journey, the gift of the Eucharist. This gift cleanses us just as baptism does, and it reminds us when we are wayward on our journey that we are not alone, that we are part of the communion of saints, a part of the body of Christ. And when we feel faint, when we feel weak, we lean on one another for strength and support and the nourishment, the divine nourishment given to us by our Lord Christ is available to all. You please join me in our great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let's give thanks to the Lord our God. Let us pray. Loving God, out of the waters you rose, preparing for your mission to save us, to show us the way, and to give your life so we may have life abundant. Lord, as we prepare our hearts to receive this meal, the meal in which we resist the forces of darkness, the forces of hatred, and all that would lead us astray from your word, we remember, Lord, today that we are baptized into you, and it is you that makes our life complete. Join us now with all the faithful around the world who celebrate this blessed feast. Unite us with every heart who has confessed Jesus is Lord. Make this bread and make this cup be for us the body of Christ, renewing, constantly creating, and blessing us with the newness of life. These mercies we pray and our hearts glorify and thank you, our eternal King. Amen.